Well, it's that time again when conference committees are being formed at the legislature. It's their job to see if they can come to agreement over differences in the versions of bills approved by each chamber. One area where that's happening is in the state's energy policy. At issue in a few bills are tax credits for renewable energy systems and proposals concerning how Hawaii's energy generation portfolio is calculated. Leslie Cole Brooks is the head of the Distributed Energy Resources Council of Hawaii, and she joins us now. Welcome back.
Hi, thanks to be here again.
Well, earlier this morning we were talking to a North Carolina researcher, Dr. David Berube, and he was making the point that, you know, most people hear science stuff and sort of check out, and because how quickly things are developing with emerging technologies, that it's also very difficult to keep up with. And then there's the whole issue of how it's being messaged through both the media and through other auspices. As you sort of look at what's happening with Hawaii's energy policy through those lenses, what do you see in terms of how well we understand how fast things are changing in Hawaii?
You know, I think residents here in Hawaii really care about energy in a way that those in other jurisdictions don't. In fact, I've heard from people that come from the mainland to talk about the merger, or to talk about renewable energy, and they're surprised that they get in, they get Lyft or Uber or a cab, and they have a long and in-depth, complicated conversation with someone that you would think maybe wouldn't be that interested. So we have a strong environmental ethic. We're very involved with what's going on with our utility, with our economy. So I'm impressed over and over by how informed people actually are. But it's complicated, so sometimes it's hard to know the whole picture.
Adding to those complications is the fact that you have multiple versions of bills.
I mean,
if you look at, you know, one of these bills, it's been through five versions, from the initial to the one that's being looked at now. The other one has been through four. Just keeping up with the changes in the bills, let alone with how that might sync with what might be the policy outcome, can be difficult. So let's talk specifically about some of these bills and see if we can get some clarity.
Okay,
here.
Sounds good.
Where are we now with the bill concerning tax credits?
So the tax credit bill basically has two versions. There's one in the Senate, there's a Senate version and a House version. So the Senate version takes the existing renewable energy and income tax credit, the REITC, or the solar tax credit, you hear it described that way sometimes, and it ramps down that credit from 35% to 15% over a seven-year period, but it increases the cap for grid-connected systems that have energy storage. There's another version of that bill that started out as a Senate bill. It's still the Senate bill. It's very confusing and complicated, but it completely cut and pasted in a new version, which turns it into a rebate, and it takes $50 million out of the GEMS program and turns it into a one-time, you don't have to pay it back, rebate. And so we're very concerned about these two bills, very different approaches to trying to have a way to invest in energy storage.
People hear tax credits, immediately sort of jump to, ooh, that means money. You make that point in one of the bill's versions. Why is that not a good idea?
Well, you know, it's so true. You hear tax credit, you just hear, oh, no, another tax
relief.
Credit.
Yeah.
Really, really? I mean, we have so many other issues going on here in the state. And it's been a bit frustrating because we drafted this bill specifically so that it's fiscally neutral. And or better, actually, our analysis has shown that it saves the state money because it ramps the credit down from 35%, which is where it is right now, to 15% slowly over a seven-year period. So it saves the state money, but it redirects the credit so that it allows customers to install systems with storage, which is where we're going. But, you know, when you hear tax credit again, I think that the initial response is, oh, that must mean it's going to cost money, when really this isn't a new credit. It's just a refreshing or a refurbishment of the existing credit to match where we are right now. And that's where I think this other idea came from. But the rebate idea, we just don't see how it would even possibly pass at all, because there's no funding for it, and it's unknown how it's going to get paid for. And I can't see why the governor would agree to something like that. It doesn't make sense. So,
if you talk about the ramping down of, you know, the solar tax credit, as people have been talking about it,
mm-hmm.
reasons for that are what?
Well, you're right. It's come up for the last couple of years of wanting the solar industry to kind of wean itself off of having a credit. In this case, the reason why this was in the legislation is because we were trying to create a balance, which I think we did very successfully, where we increased the cap only for certain kinds of systems that include energy storage. And we're talking all kinds of energy storage, not just batteries, that will give customers choices, but also help the whole state meet its energy goals, because very soon, just plain old grid supply PV is not going to be a choice anymore. And so in order to increase the cap and allow these other kinds of systems, we said, well, we're going to ramp the credit down to account for any increase in cost. So really it was a balance saying, let's ramp it down, but let's increase the cap only for certain systems. So that was the point.
As some listeners may be trying to think about, wait a second, I'm trying to get my house or my apartment or my condo into a better energy situation and have tried maybe other things, or maybe they were shut out of being able to have PV solar and all of the tax credits that were initially available to that. What would you tell someone now that this might offer in a way that would make sense to them so that they can make an informed choice?
Okay, well, I think, and this is one of the things that's about everybody knows, which is unusual, I think, compared to other jurisdictions or other states, is that net energy metering is closed, right? And so now we have two other choices. One is called grid supply, where you can still send out electrons when you don't need them, and you get paid for that, albeit less than what you got under NEM, considerably less.
You're not market rate.
Right, absolutely. And so that program is still moving forward, but it has a cap. And so we anticipate that the cap is going to be reached sometime early next year. And once that cap is reached, the only choice for commercial residential customers will be to install what we call a cell supply. So that means that you can't export any energy. What you produce on site, you must consume. So that's where storage comes in, because unless you're home all day, you have a lot of load at home, you've got the AC cranked up, something, or you have family members at home using a lot of energy, most people get up, they go off to work. So if you have PV and you can't export, well, you need to store that energy to use it later. And that's where this amendment of the REITC has come in, so that you have a way to help pay for that, because it is more expensive. But it will soon be really the only choice for most customers.
Isn't the assumption also that as we move, further along in time, that will become less expensive?
Yes, it is. And so that was one of the features that was that we considered as part of the ramp down. Not only does the credit ramp down, but we also expect that the cost is going to go down. And that's how it is. We found that the amendment is revenue neutral. And in fact, our analysis finds that it saves the state money over time because of that. So, plus, it will put in place systems that can help shift peak and provide ancillary services to the electrical grid, which is benefit to all ratepayers. So, we just see it as a win-win-win all around. But it's a matter of education and getting the right thing through conference, which can be a challenging exercise.
As can be the yes. exercise in talking to one's homeowners association if one happens to have
I know.
A condo.
I know. I want to have a show just on that. Yeah, later. Yeah.
All right. We'll tackle that one another time.
Okay.
Leslie Cole Brooks, thanks so much for coming in. We'll be watching this one. Leslie Cole Brooks is the head of the Distributed Energy Resources Council of Hawaii. It's a nonprofit trade organization formed to assist with the development of distributed energy resources and smart grid technologies.